and hope that you'll come and join us again. A couple of announcements for you. Don't forget, I'm sure Sarah's going to have something to say about this, the blessing of the animals service tonight at 5 o'clock. Don't forget that. Also, I have to be at the Senate office on Tuesday, so there is no sunrise or sun up Bible study this week. Today is Consecration Sunday. So if you did not bring your cards and would like one, if you will raise your hand, I'll ask the ushers. They're back there somewhere. Anybody want a card? We have extras. They'll be glad to take it, give you a card. All right, I got one over here. Anybody else need a card? I got another one up here, y'all. Give him the big ones. Or we could give him one already pre-filled in. How about that? All right, and what will happen is after our piece, Jim's going to start playing some music, and the basket will just appear up here. Please bring forward your cards and your offering for this week, and just place it in the basket and go back to your seat. Afterwards, the choir will move to its anthem. That makes sense? So we won't be passing the plate out there among y'all. Y'all bring all that stuff forward at the time of the offering. Sarah.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, we have the blessing of the animal service this afternoon at 5. Why do church have blessing of the animal service? Well, why not? But October 4th is the feast day for St. Francis of Assisi, who is the patron saint of animals and the environment. So you are encouraged to bring your pet if you would like your pet to receive a blessing. But also, if you don't have a pet, Tom has a prayer service for our
Sarah. If I had a pet goldfish, could I bring a pet goldfish?
Yes.
If I had a pet hamster, can I bring a pet hamster? If I had a pet...
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That's what I was going to say. All right, let's prepare for our worship. Thank you. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, the one who fashions us, the one who heals us, the one who reforms us again and again.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin, calling for God's transforming power. Source of all life, we confess that we have not allowed your grace to set us free.
We fear that we are not good enough. We hear your word of love freely given to us, yet we expect others to earn it.
We turn the church inward rather than moving it outward. Forgive us,
stir us,
reform us to be a church powered by love, willing to speak for what is right, act for what is just, and seek the healing of your whole creation. Amen. God hears our cry and sends the Spirit to change us and to empower our lives in the world. Our sins are forgiven. God's love is unconditional, and we are raised up as God's people who will always be made new. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. And failings. Give us your grace to overcome them. Keep us from those things that harm us, and guide us in the way of salvation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Be seated, and with the children, please come forward. I am so glad you guys are here today. Oh, we got another one coming. Wait a minute. Good morning. I am so glad you're here because I discovered this morning that I have an awesome mental superpower. I can read your minds. And it's as if our... For example,
and earlier, I thought of this, and I know what you're going to say.
So, I want you to think of a number. Got it? You thinking of it? before church, I was able to write down the number that you were thinking of right now. And the number you are thinking of is
8,603,412. No.
No.
It was only 5.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. No, I want you to think of a color. You got a color? All right, this is what I thought before church that you were going to say. And remember, I had this awesome mental superpower. You are thinking of the color alabaster. You were. Alabaster is a color, yes. You were really thinking of alabaster? I don't think so. All right, we're going to try one more time. I've really put a lot of thought in this morning, and I want our minds to be the same, so I need any of you, both, you can both think of this, a shape. You got one? You're thinking about a shape? Okay. I know that you were thinking of a Triskaidekaidon. No, this is a 13-sided shape.
Oh.
A square.
I was thinking of a triangle.
A triangle. You weren't thinking of a Triskaidekaidon, were you? A circle, okay. Nope. Was anybody thinking of a Triskaidekaidon? No. Well, where did I get these things? I thought our minds were like one. It's kind of hard to know what other people are thinking, isn't it?
Yes.
But in our second lesson today, we're going to hear St. Paul talk about that we should have the same mind as Jesus. Do you think that means knowing what a Triskaidekaidon is, or that being able to think that y'all were going to think of a Triskaidekaidon or 8,600 and whatever that number that was? Do you think that's what that means?
Yes.
No, it doesn't mean that. What I think it means is that we should think like Jesus thinks. We should be concerned about other people. We should love other people. We should think about God and praise God like Jesus did. When we think about having the same mind as Jesus, it doesn't mean little tricks like this. That's right. No, it doesn't mean swapping brains. It means to think like Jesus, to care about others like Jesus, to think about God like Jesus, and to tell others about God like Jesus would do. That's what we're called to do, and that's what I wanted you to remember today. All right, can we have a prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you for coming to save us and for loving us with such great love. Help us always in everything we do to think like you. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The parents have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Know that all lives are mine. The life of the parent as well as the life of the child is mine. It is only the person who sins that shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is unfair. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? When the righteous turn away from their righteousness and commit iniquity, they shall die for it. For the iniquity that they have committed, they shall die. Again, when the wicked turn away from the wickedness they have committed and do what is lawful and right, they shall save their life. Because they considered and turned away from all the transgressions that they had committed, they shall surely live. They shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is unfair. O house of Israel, are my ways unfair? Is it not your ways that are unfair? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, all of you according to your ways, says the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions. Otherwise, iniquity will be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. Turn then and live. The word of the Lord. A reading from Philippians. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being of full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? And they argued with one another. If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. He answered, I will not. But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
If you went to college, you probably got one of these. There's even an outside chance you used one once or twice. There's an even better chance that you haven't used one since. What am I talking about? A thesaurus. No, that's not a weird name for a dinosaur. A thesaurus is that book that you turn to when you're trying to find just the right word to express what you're trying to say, but can't think of it at that moment. It's a listing of synonyms and antonyms and different nuances of words. And this past week, I got mine out so that I could look something up. You see, as I looked at our gospel lesson about the farmer and his two sons, one who said he would do what his father wanted and then didn't do it, and the other who said he wouldn't do it and then did, it seemed to me that maybe this was an important time for us to talk just a bit about obedience. Obedience. We may talk about that with regard to children, particularly when someone is not being obedient, but we don't really talk very much about being obedient to God. So I began to wonder a bit about what it really means for us to be obedient to God, and I got out my thesaurus to look at other related words that might shed some light on what obedience means. And what I discovered, well, it was a bit more than I bargained for. I looked up the word obedience, expecting to find a section on the word and its synonyms, but it wasn't quite that simple. Under the word obedience, I found four subcategories. The first one was compliance. And I thought, well, I don't think that's what obedience to God means. But I looked it up anyway, and I found words like observance, heeding, performance, practice, carrying through, fulfillment, and respect. Huh. Maybe this is what obedience to God means. In other words, to obey this way means to do what God asks of us. If we're going to obey God, we are called not just to hear the word of God, but to do it. God didn't give us the 10 suggestions. No, they were the 10 commandments. And we remember that favorite passage from Micah, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God? To obey God means compliance with God's will. The second subcategory was conformity. And I thought, surely obeying God doesn't mean conformity. That's not what obedience to God means. But I looked that one up too. And I found words like accord, harmony, congruity, and agreement. Huh. Maybe this is what obedience to God means. In other words, to obey this way means that our obedience is not just task-driven, but that our very lives are shaped by God. This kind of obedience means that we do what God wants because it is good, and we agree with God's will for us and for our world. Obedience means that our lives begin to look like the kind of lives God would have us live. Less and less of our way of doing things, and lives more and more shaped and molded by God. We are created in God's image, after all. To obey God means that we conform to God's image. So the third subcategory was resignation. And I thought, no, that's not it either. Obedience means that we are resigned to doing something? That didn't sound right. But now when I looked that one up, I found meekness, humility, submissiveness. Maybe this is what obedience to God means. In other words, to obey God is to know that God is God and we are not. It is to be meek and humble before God, not insisting on our way, but submitting in all things to God's way. Again, our very lives are shaped by belonging to God, and the love God gives to us is the love we live with each other. Our society doesn't celebrate meekness and humility, but they are at the heart of what it means to be obedient to God. The last subcategory was submission. And I guess by now I had learned not to object. Here's what I found: yielding, consent, homage, and acceptance. And these two say a lot about obedience to God. We yield to God's wisdom for our lives. Wisdom for us as individuals and for us collectively. And as we obey God, we give God homage, praise, and honor. We accept and consent to God's will among us. That's why we pray, "Thy will be done." To obey God means we are submissive to God. Maybe we're a lot like those two boys in Jesus' story. I will and I won't. I won't and I will. Obedience is hard for us. What we want is so important to us. Strive to want what God wants. Perhaps God will look at us and say, "See my children? They will, and they do." Amen. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins, with the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation.
Glorious God, your majesty exceeds our imaginations. With all our hearts, we sing your praise and give you honor.
Now inspire our faith, transform our lives,
that we might live out our worship every day. Lord, in your mercy, come into our world, loving Savior, with your mercy and grace. Lead us in lives of mercy and compassion for one another, reaching beyond our differences and fears, that we may live lives of unity and peace. Lord, in your mercy, now, O God of comfort and compassion, be with our brothers and sisters who are in need. Heal the sick, console those who mourn, change the lives of the poor, the oppressed, the outcast, and the alone. We remember especially all those who continue to suffer and struggle in the wake of storms and natural disasters. Be with all your people, O God, and especially those whom we remember before you. In your mercy. And now, O God, we remember all that you have done for us. Thank you for all the many blessings in our lives. Thank you that you have given us a church home which welcomes and feeds us in your name, but also which calls us forth in mission and in service. Thank you for the saving grace of Jesus. In thanks for him, give us generous and willing hearts in response to your grace. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
us pray. God of life, you give us these gifts of the earth, these resources of our life and lay labor. Take them, offered in great thanksgiving, and use them to set a table that will heal the whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and light. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Our bread of life, our table and our food, you created a world in which all might be satisfied by your abundance. You dined with Abraham and Sarah, promising them life, and you fed your people Israel with manna from heaven. You sent your Son to eat with sinners and to become food for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life given for us and his rising from the grave, we await his coming again to share with us the everlasting feast. By your Spirit, nurture and sustain us with this meal. Strengthen us to serve all in hunger and want. And by this bread and cup, make of us the body of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Body of Christ.
body of Christ given for you.
Thank you. body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Holy and compassionate God, in bread and wine you give us gifts that form us to be humble and courageous. May your words come to life in our serving and in our witness, that we might speak to a living voice of healing and justice to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.